Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. This is the summary of our Lord's reply to Peter's question, Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? Our Lord was, through his figures and parables, was encouraging the disciples to be vigilant, to watch and be ready for the coming of the Lord, who comes at an hour at which we do not expect. And Peter wanted to know whether this was something that was meant only for those who were closest to him, or if it was meant for everyone more generally. And our Lord replied ultimately that it's for everyone, but it is more incumbent upon those who have a greater enlightenment. And in fact, our Lord's point of all that he says in today's gospel to the apostles is that they should be vigilant. It is their job to be vigilant, precisely because they had been so enlightened. This principle, much will be required of the person entrusted with much, is more or less equivalent to something that we have in religious life, a kind of unwritten rule. I don't really know if it's generally true of religious life, but it is very often in our community that if you have an idea, it's your job. You come up with an idea and you have the temerity to express it to the superior, the likelihood is that you're going to be the one who has to do it. And the translation of this is that those who are enlightened by God, those who receive a grace to see clearly what it is that he wants, will be expected to be vigilant and to put it into practice. This is our Lord's message over and over again, as expressed, you know, when the woman in the crowd cried out to our Lord and said, "Blessed is the womb which bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." And our Lord said, "No, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Our Lady is blessed because she is the Mother of God, but she's even more blessed for her vigilance, vigilance that allowed her always to say yes to God. Our Lord, when he's talking to the apostles about this kind of vigilance, he says to them, "Gird your loins and light your lamps." And this is a reference indirectly to the first reading, which is from the Book of Wisdom, and it relates to the Passover. "The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect the one with one accord the divine institution." The Israelites on the night of the Passover were commanded by God to gird their loins and keep their sandals on as though they were ready for a journey, and to eat the Passover supper, while the angel, and to anoint the lintels of the doors and the doorposts with the blood of the lamb, so that the angel would pass over their homes and not strike down the firstborn of their families, whereas the Egyptians were struck down. And the author of the Book of Wisdom says the holy children of God in secret in their homes were offering the sacrificing and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. That was their vigilance, their observance of the Passover, their remembering what God was about to do for them, and then subsequently throughout the generations until now, the keeping of the Passover in remembrance of that night, that night in which they were delivered from slavery. And in our holy religion, our holy Catholic religion, which is the fulfillment of these divine institutions, we do the same through the sacramental life. especially what we're doing today on this Sunday, this first day of the week, where we offer to our Heavenly Father the great sacrifice that was offered by His Son on Calvary. This is the manner of our vigilance, and it's our worship of the one true God. We come to the altar of God, and we enter into the mysteries that are offered by Jesus Christ. We come to see His great love for humanity and the way He has saved us from our sins by suffering and dying on the cross. And we show this by our reverence, by our attentiveness, by our entering into the liturgical words and actions. But of course, we know that it must mean more than this, that the true vigilance is something which changes us, which prepares us for the ultimate coming of the Lord, so that when He comes at that hour that we do not know, we will be ready to see Him. So it's a very particular kind of vigilance that we are called to in our holy religion. And it's related, ultimately, of course, to the mystery of the cross. St. Paul, the author to the letter to the Hebrews, talks about what faith is, and he follows the faith of the ancients who received the promises of God and even entered into the promised land. But he tells us that they dwelt there even in tents. Once they got to the promised land, they continued to live in tents in the promised land because they realized that the ultimate object of God's promise was not the land of Israel, but something which was symbolized by the land of Israel, which would be fulfilled in the coming of Christ. But the great archetype of this faith is Abraham, a man who was as good as dead, you know, old, his wife barren, and yet from him proceeded a whole nation, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. Why? Because of his vigilance. Because of his vigilance in his faith in the power of God and what was signified by the covenant that God had established with him. This is why in the letter to the Romans, St. Paul says that Abraham believed and hoped against all hope when God asked him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. He believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. And so our vigilance, our hope against all hope, is to stand at the foot of the cross and to recognize that our salvation, our glory, our joy, our Lord talks about at the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel, he says, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." You know, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. The promises that Christ, that God has made us, are rooted in the cross, and our treasure is Christ Himself, who becomes present for us in the Eucharist. And we are called to overcome our fear and to find joy in these truths and in these mysteries. This is where our treasure should be, and it should be that way always, in spite of the things that happen around us, in spite of in the words of Tolkien, the long defeat, which is Christianity. You know, in our Lord's life, it's like one of those stories in a novel or in a movie where you sort of see how things are going and you know it's going to end badly. You read the gospel, you can see where it's headed, and that ultimately the scribes and the Pharisees are going to have our Lord killed. And it seems like on Good Friday it all comes to an end. But in reality, there is a turn of the tide, and ultimately there is the resurrection. This is the experience of Christians throughout the ages. We are fighting a long defeat. Today, the persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East, but not only in the Middle East, also in Asia and elsewhere, is tremendous. The number of martyrs that we have on a regular basis is no less than it has been at any other time in Christian history. Many of our liberties are at stake, not only in these countries where Christians are openly persecuted and threatened with death, but also in our nation, in which it seems in some ways that our freedom of religion is being little by little reduced to freedom of worship, and that our ability to speak in the public square is under threat. And so none of this should surprise us or discourage us. We know that the message of our Lord is not always received as the good news that it is, and that those who are enlightened are called to be vigilant and to recognize the signs of the times, and to recognize that that no matter how difficult things are, we are living in a time of grace. Our Lord says, much more will be required of the person entrusted with much. That's true. But also, much grace will be entrusted to those who are asked asked for great deeds. If much is required of us, much grace will be given. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so our hope is in Christ, and we will not be afraid because He is always with us. And we know that grace always corresponds to the vocation that is given. So we turn to our Lord in these great mysteries, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass this day, and ask for the grace to be vigilant and to be prepared for the arrival of our Lord when He comes for us on the last day. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Amen.